everybody. This is Stacey Hyland, the Business Optimizer Coach, and tonight's call is how to stop the feast or famine cycle in your business with effective marketing to get more of your perfect clients. So welcome, everybody. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. What I would like you to do is have some paper to take notes. We're also going to have some exercises as we go along, so you want to make sure that you're participating in those. I do have the line muted out due to the number of people we're expecting on the call tonight. So what I would ask you during this call is to not do any multitasking. Now, if you're like me, that's something that, you know, you tend to do, but this information is so important. I want to make sure that you aren't checking your email, you're not on Facebook, you're not on Twitter, and that you even turn off your computer screen during the time in this hour, because these are strategies that have made my clients tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and this could have a huge impact not just on your business but also on your life. And we're going to be talking a little bit about how that has happened for my clients. And at the end of the call, I'm going to give a little bit of information about how you can get more information on that. So I will be talking about that at the end of the call. If you want to go there right away and see the application, the fill out, have more information for me, it's tinyurl.com/BOC Platinum. So it's BOC, B-O-C Platinum. So I will be talking about that at the end of the event, but those are for the people that can never wait. So let's get started. So what I want you to do is to write down what your intention is for the call. Why are you here? And, you know, it was really interesting. I asked on the forum why people were here. What was it about the feast or famine that they were frustrated with? Is it that you need more clients? Is it that your marketing isn't working? Do you need more of your perfect clients? Do you need more time? Do you need to get things implemented and get things done? What do you want to learn? What is it that you came here for, and why are you spending this time here with me tonight? Just take a minute and write that down. Okay, so now that you have this intention in mind, you know, I want you to listen with open ears and listen for those bites, those tidbits that you're looking for. All right, so before I jump into the content, I want to give you a little bit of background about me so that you know who I am and why I'm qualified to talk to you guys about this stuff. So for over a decade, I've been helping 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs, even 8-figure entrepreneurs, with powerful marketing and sales strategies to help them get more clients, increase profits, and have more time off to enjoy who and what they love. Now, you might be wondering, well, why do you keep calling yourself the Business Optimizer Coach? Well, it turns out that, you know, my clients actually came up with the name Business Optimizer Coach because they said that no matter what we were working on in their business, whether it's their sales letters or sales process or their marketing, you know, direct mail pieces or internet marketing and email marketing campaigns, that I was able to help them optimize it for better results. So they said, you know, coach just doesn't cut it for you. You have to have something that says what you do, and optimize was the word that we came up with. So some of you might also know or have heard of me from the work that I do with Chet Holmes and Tony Robbins. So that might be where you've heard. I have been working with Chet Holmes for over 7 years now as one of his senior coaches. So I do all the business coaching there for Chet and Tony for their business growth series. So I'm going to give you a little bit about my background in terms of who I am and what's gone on with me. So you might say, well, Stacey, you're not super old. Not yet, anyway, so I'm going to have another birthday. But I've been selling since I was in third grade. So when I say I was selling since third grade, I don't mean, you know, for the Brownies and the Girl Scouts. I was actually selling on my own out there, knocking on doors, cold calling, selling products door to door, starting in third grade. And then in fifth grade, I got my start selling B2B, which is really a lot of what I focus on right now is B2B marketing and B2B sales. And I was in fifth grade when I got my first check from a business, which is, I think I somewhere have a picture, probably in some Rubbermaid bin somewhere in my basement, of me getting my first check from a company. Now, you might say, well, yeah, that's not normal childhood, but I was raised in a very entrepreneurial family. you know, this wasn't always an easy thing. I'll share a little bit more about that later. You know, but there's probably things that you're struggling with as well as a business owner that I learned, you know, from growing up in that entrepreneurial family. I was the top sales performer. I was number two in a Fortune 500 company, straight commission, my very first week with the company. So, you know, I have a lot of sales experience. Now, the thing about while I was doing all of the sales and you know, just kind of learning the craft, I was always looking and learning for the one thing that would make an improvement. So when I was sitting in a room with other sales reps and I listened to their sales presentations, I always listened and said, how are they transitioning? What are the questions they're asking? And I was always finding, you know, and tweaking and optimizing the things in my own sales presentation based on what I saw other people doing. And I'm a big believer in that, is that whatever you are working on, you really have to make it work for you and your individual style. So it wasn't that I was actually taking somebody else's thing and using it verbatim, but I was weaving those things into what I was currently doing, taking the good and leaving the bad. Then the last thing I did before I transitioned into coaching was I was selling high-end beauty equipment. The product that I was selling was, most people were paying on an average of $3,000 to $5,000 for that equipment, and the product I was selling was between $20,000 and $30,000. Now, obviously, when you're selling something that's, you know, up to 10 times the price of what they're currently paying, you have to be a value added and have some consultative selling skills and be able to help people. So what I was doing when I was doing that is helping the clients with their marketing, helping them with their sales process. And one of the clients I worked with increased their sales over 200% in 1 year. So this was kind of the genesis of how I discovered that, you know, this is the part that I really loved. Although I was really good at sales and it was fun, I loved doing the marketing and I loved helping the business owners improve and optimize their business. So I started going into depth in terms of coach training, marketing training, internet marketing training. So I've spent tens of thousands of dollars per year for the last over 10 years now, probably 15 years, really getting the best of the best and implementing it into my business and my clients' business. So here's what we're going to work on today. We're going to cover this. Why effective marketing is so important, not just for your business, but for your life, because I believe the two are intertwined. You can't separate them. What are the biggest mistakes that you're making that are keeping you from having a steady flow of your perfect clients? And these are the mistakes that I've seen over and over again with my clients when they start working with me. We're going to learn how to get more leverage from every marketing tactic that you use. You're going to learn what you need to stop doing in your business that's keeping you from going to the next level, because a lot of times you're on a hamster wheel and you can't stop and you can't see the things that you need to stop doing. And then why you need to be focused on marketing to your perfect clients. Now, this is a subject I'm very passionate about, is this whole feast or famine, and I did do a call like this before, and the reason why is that I see the effect that this has on business owners. I've been there myself before. I started doing all my marketing and I was just kind of doing it on a hope and a prayer, or when I was in sales, I could see that you would have these times of incredible feast. You'd have more than you could possibly want. It's like when you have a garden and you grow, you know, squash, zucchini, all of a sudden you have all of this zucchini and you couldn't possibly eat all of the zucchini that you have in your garden. So all of a sudden you start making friends with all of your neighbors. It's the same way with sales. It seems that, you know, there's a cycle that all of a sudden you have as many clients as you can possibly handle, and then all of a sudden the famine, like, it stops. It dries up. You're wondering what happened to your cash flow. A lot of you mentioned that. You know, cash flow is a big issue for you. Now, the problem with this is that, you know, these feast or famine cycles could happen, you know, in a month. You know, there's periods in a month that you could be affected by this. It could be in a year. It could be 6 months. Or it could even be economy-driven. So, you know, sometimes people have businesses that hum unless the economy stops. And then other people have businesses where it's the opposite, where if the economy is going really well, their business is not going as well. And if the economy gets worse, their business goes up. So you really want to know what those cycles are. Now, let me give you a little visual example of how this, you know, what I want to have happen with your marketing and how to help you with that. Now, at our cottage that we have on a lake, our cousins have a cottage that's from the 1800s. And outside their cottage, they have, and in fact, inside their cottage at their sink, they have a hand pump. So if you can picture one of these hand pumps that has a handle on it, the big, long handle, and you have to pump that well until the water comes out. This is before the faucet was invented, before we had it easy. So you're pumping that and pumping that. Now, I know from personal experience since I was a kid that if you don't prime that pump, if you don't put a little bit of water in the pump before you start, you know, cranking it with your arm is going to be falling off trying to get the water up. But if you put a little bit of water into the pump and then start to pump, it's what's called priming the pump. It makes it much, much easier. So what I want to help you do is help you prime that pump for your business so that the business is easy, it's running, you have clients coming in, you have leads coming in all of the time. So that's how I want your business to be operating. And sometimes it just takes, you know, a little bit of water like they, you know, with this to get it going. So what I want you to do right now for an action step, I'm big on, you know, having you guys be engaged in this and actually participating instead of me just talking for an hour. What I want you to write down is the last three times that you experienced that well being dry. You know, what was the last feast or famine cycle that you went through? I'm just going to give you a few seconds to write that down. All right. So, and it's important to kind of look at those last three times because as you can see the cycle, then you can fix it because you know what causes it. Usually you can see some of the trends or things that are happening. And the thing that I want you to remember is that, you know, if your business is not growing, it's really dying. That if you're not out there growing your business, getting new clients, you know, getting new prospects, going after new business, your competitors are taking your market share. So it's really for your peace of mind, you know, the things that keep you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you have stress, and it's not just stress on you and on the business and on the people in the business, but it's also on your family. So we'll talk a little bit about this. So the other action I want you to take right now is to look at who are your top three clients. Put a dollar amount to them. How much money are they, how much revenue are they responsible for in the last year? I just recently had an experience where I have a new client and he's in a very precarious position because he just lost one of his clients. And just one of his clients put him in this very precarious position that he's really, really concerned. He had to lay some people off. So write down the dollar amount and, you know, how secure is your business if you lost those top three clients? All right. Now, I hope you did it. It's like Tony Robbins always says, you know, make sure you did the stop the tape if you didn't do the exercise back in those days of the cassette tape. So I'm hoping for you that your number is not really scaring the crap out of you, but, you know, based on experience, I can see that a lot of times those top three clients can hold a lot of eggs in that little basket, and it can be a very scary place to be. So I want you to really take a look at that and make sure you write that down. You know, the other effect that I've seen of people in this whole feast or famine cycle is that, you know, a struggling business can really tear a family apart. I mean, it's a very dangerous place to be in. It can keep you from spending time with your family. It can make you feel like you could never leave your office, or you can't leave your work at the office and you're always bringing things home. Now in the age of Blackberries and iPhones and everything, you know, you can bring your office with you wherever you are. And what happens is that you're not present with your family when you are there. You don't get a chance to do what you love. You feel like you don't deserve to take time off or do things that are fun because your business is not in the place that you want it to be. So You know, that's why you want to get over this whole, break this cycle of the feast or famine so that you feel like you can take some time off, so that you can enjoy your life. This is the reason that I'm really passionate about this, and I'm going to share something really personal with you in terms of what happened with my dad. My dad was very entrepreneurial, like I said, and he also was, you know, he struggled for a long time, and he was a brilliant guy. He ended up dying when he was 56 without, you know, having his dreams fulfilled, without doing all, you know, never going to the Europe with the family, never getting to do the things that he really wanted to do. So it's really important that you grow your business so that you can take advantage of your life, because what I've been seeing in business owners that I've coached is people are getting divorced, they're missing their kids' events, they have no vacation, or if they do have a vacation, they're still tied to the business. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to write down the negative effects your business is having on your family, your relationships, and your personal life. I'm just going to give you a minute to write some thoughts down there. And I'm still seeing people coming onto the line, so welcome. And what we're doing right now is looking at how our business stress and this whole feast or famine cycle is affecting our family, our relationships, our life personally. Okay. So I'm going to give you an example of one of my clients. He had an engineering firm. He also had a multi-million dollar internet marketing company and publisher. And you can actually see Tim's testimonial on my website if you go to businessoptimizercoach.com. You can see his picture and his testimonial. And he always used to tell me, you know, your marketing help is amazing. It's like a $10,000 value to have you just help me with a phone call, to help me revise my copy and things on my website and my emails. But the thing that I was the most proud of with him is that we got him to a place that his business was running really well, that his marketing was working, that I actually encouraged him to take Taekwondo and to take a trip to Disney with his family. And it's funny, I just saw on Facebook about a month or so ago that he actually got his black belt in Taekwondo. So those are the sort of things that as you start to work on the marketing that you can get results. The results go beyond just having some extra zeros in your bank account. So, you know, a lot of people get confused what, you know, the sales process is, what is marketing. My definition of marketing is the process of interesting potential clients in your products or services. So now we're going to dig into what are the biggest mistakes that I see over and over and over again in companies. And you know, you might think, well, this doesn't apply to me, you know, not in my market, but I've worked with all different kinds of companies in all different markets, in all different sizes. And, you know, we're talking companies from, you know, one-person armies to $20 million in sales, and I'm still seeing the same challenges and mistakes that they're making. So that's why it's really important for us to talk about this. All right. The first thing is that the mistake that I see is that people are having the wrong focus in their business. You might say, well, how can I have the wrong focus in my business? I'm just focused on, you know, making it run. Well, the problem is that if you're familiar with the E-Myth book, where they talk about being a technician, and a technician in your business versus an entrepreneur, the technician is somebody that's doing the product or service. So, for example, that they give is the person that's making the pies in the bakery. They're not helping grow the bakery or, you know, sell the products or market the products. All they're doing is making cakes. Now, you might say, yeah, well, I don't make cakes. It could be somebody building websites. It could be that you're manufacturing widgets and you're looking at designing the widgets. It could be anything, but it's that you're focused on the wrong end of the business versus looking at the business from an entrepreneur's perspective of being able to grow the business. Now, one of the main reasons for this is that most people are stuck working in the business versus working on the business. And again, this is clarified in the E-Myth, so this is a definite recommended reading for every entrepreneur. Working in the business is when you're doing the things, the product or service that you sell. So, for example, a web developer would be actually doing web development, or a copywriter would actually be writing copy, or you are actually doing the thing that you do. Versus working on the business is what we do in the coaching ends of things, is that we actually sit down with you and we look at, all right, what are we going to improve? What are we going to optimize? How are you going to make this run better? So it's creating systems that make your business run more smoothly. It's creating marketing plans. It's everything that you can do to work on the business to make it grow better. Now, the Pareto principle, named after Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto, states that for many events, that roughly 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. So if you put that in business terms, that would be that 80% of the sales come from 20% of the clients. So when I'm saying that you're focused on the wrong things is that a lot of times the reason that you're focusing on the wrong things is that you're so busy putting out fires, you're dealing with the clients that are on the low end of the totem pole in terms of the amount of business that they do with you, that you don't have room to focus on going after more of the better business. Now, some symptoms for you, if you're looking at your business and you're saying, I don't know if I'm making these mistakes or not, some of the symptoms that you might see if you're having the wrong focus in your business, that you're putting out fires, that you're always reacting. You never have time to get to the things that you know that you need to do or should be doing to grow your business. So if you're always putting out fires and you're always reacting, you never have time to get to the things on your to-do list, you're focusing on the wrong end of your business. Another symptom of this would be no implementation. And this is something that I struggled with for years. I mean, I attended tons of seminars. I invested all of this money, and I was helping my clients implement these things, but I wasn't doing it for my own business. And, you know, that's something that held back my growth for several years until I got a handle of, like, I love learning and I love getting new things in my brain, but I need to actually now put that into practice and created a system for myself to do that. Another symptom of the wrong focus in your business is if you don't have any time off, or if your time off is not, you know, like I mentioned before, if you're not being present when you do have the time off. The second area of mistakes in your business is not identifying and marketing to your perfect clients. Now, people might say, well, there are no perfect clients, just like there's no perfect man or woman out there. But there's some that are more perfect than others. And, you know, I think that if you looked in your business, you could identify, and I do have a whole system on this of how to attract your perfect clients. But if you looked at the clients that you absolutely love working with, that are fun to work with, they don't have a trouble paying your fee, they're referring you business, they're, you know, implementing what you tell them to do, they're compliant with the things that you tell them that they need to do with your product or service, that's the kind of person that we want to market to, and that's what we need to focus our marketing on. So when you're marketing to your perfect clients, one of the things that you want to do is you want to really look at developing the like, know, and trust factor, is that you want to develop a relationship with them so that they get to like, know, and trust you, and then in return, they're going to then buy more often, and they're also going to refer more. Now, another characteristic of these perfect clients is that you have a lot less customer service problems if you're working with your perfect clients. And they're fun to work with. I mean, Tim, the example I just gave of the internet marketer, he was so fun. It was, you know, we got on the phone every week, and it was fun because we were creating things. We were changing his business, and that's a lot of fun for me. You need to be very clear on who your perfect clients are. You need to know who they are, where they are, what do they read, what do they like to do, what's the size of their business, what's their industry. So if you're marketing B2B, then these are the things that you want to know. You know, how many employees do they have? How many years in business? You know, and you can purchase lists of these perfect clients. But then it's your job then to market to them and develop that like, know, and trust factor and create the relationship with them. Now, all of your marketing needs to be targeted to them. So if you have this broad focus in your marketing, you're not going to appeal to the right people. So you want to make sure that you focus in on exactly who you want to bring into your business. All right. So let's go on to the third mistake. All right. So the third mistake is the marketing plan itself or lack thereof. And if you do not have a marketing plan, you don't have to feel marketing plan shame. You know, I've talked to companies that are $20 million companies that are kind of just winging it by the seat of their pants without a marketing plan. They just do the marketing that they've been doing, and they don't change it. They don't use any strategy. So, you know, that's what I find is that people don't have one, or if they have one, it's kind of in their head. It's not written out. What I do with my clients is I have a really cool thing called the Business Optimizer Marketing Plan. And what this is, it's a one-page sheet that we actually, when I start doing one-on-one coaching work with clients, that we actually go over this marketing sheet. We look at all of the different strategies that we want to do. You know, what is the strategy that we want to have? What is the tactic that we're going to use to implement that? And we do the things that fit for that client. So it's not all one size fits all. It's really customized for what your strengths are, what's going to help you get your perfect clients. The second part of the marketing plan that's the problem is that people are not strategic, and they're all tactical. So I'm going to explain what that means. So when you're strategic, before you do anything, so for example, if we were going to work on a web page together, and we were going to now, I don't help you create the web pages, but I'll help you strategize on how your web page should look and what the message should be. So, for example, if we were going to look at your web page, we would say, okay, what is it that I want people to know about my company? What is it that, how is it that I want to be seen in this market? Do I want to be seen as an expert? Do I want to be seen as a resource? Do I want to be the source for information for my industry? What is it that you want people to think when they come to your website? Do you want them to think that you're the cheapest? Do you want them to think that you appeal to the higher end of the market? These are all things that you need to think of strategically before you implement on a tactical level of whether you're going to do Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is that you're going to do. The other thing that that kind of drives me crazy, and it's what I call the walk through the door marketing plan. And years ago, I had clients that really struggled with this, that they didn't have a marketing plan necessarily. They had whoever walked through the door to sell them marketing or advertising, that was what they did. So if the Valpak person walked through the door, all of a sudden, oh, Stacy, I talked to the Valpak rep this week. I'm going to do Valpak. Yellow Pages rep. Anything that, you know, you might have local video people now calling on you and saying that they can do video or they can do search engine optimization, which are all good things to do, but it needs to be planned out and fit into your marketing strategy, into your marketing plan. So this is the walk through the door plan, and that is not a good way to do your marketing. The other thing that happens with this is that you end up doing what I call Coca-Cola type advertising, that you're doing things that are just brand-based advertising, not direct response marketing. And I'll get into that a little bit more later. The other thing that they're doing with their marketing is that they don't have it stacked. So I'm going to explain how to do this, but what stacked means that you can't just have one marketing strategy and think that it's going to work. You need to have more than one. Dan Kennedy says the most dangerous, and Dan Kennedy is a marketing guru for those of you that don't know him. He says the most dangerous number of anything in business is the number one, whether it's one employee, one system, one computer, one marketing method. And the things that I've seen, and I talked about this in my newsletter, I think it was last week or the week before, was that, you know, I've seen clients really go into the famine because they didn't have a stacked marketing plan, because they were using fax blasts, which are now illegal, or they were doing telemarketing, which now the do not call list. You know, I've seen clients with their whole business come to a screeching halt because of that, not having a stacked plan. The next thing with your marketing plan is that you're not getting enough leverage with it. So one of the things I look at with my clients is what you're doing with your marketing, how you can get more results out of every single piece of marketing that you're doing. So we'll go into that again also a little bit more later. And then the thing that drives me insane and absolutely crazy is not implementing the marketing plan. Like I said, I used to struggle with this in the past, so I know how hard it is when you know, when you start out as a one-man army and you don't have a lot of resources and you don't have a lot of time, which goes back to the mistake of the wrong focus, because you're not focused on the important things, you're focused on the urgent things, not implementing, not putting the things into place. And sometimes that's fear-based, that you're afraid of what's going to happen, you're afraid to market yourself, you're afraid to sell yourself, you're afraid to be aggressive, you're afraid to be seen as salesy. And sometimes it's that, you know, you're not using your time well. You're not focused on the right things. So that's one of the things that you need to identify. The symptoms of not having a good marketing plan. So here's how to tell if this is an issue for you, is that you don't have enough clients. You're experiencing, you know, this feast or famine that you're all here to find out about how to solve that. You get poor results with your marketing. So you do something, but because it's not stacked, because it's not strategic, you don't get the results that you want. And there's a very poor return on investment. And a lot of times people that don't even have the marketing plan, they don't have the tracking in place, so they can't even tell me what their return on investment is. So they might do Google AdWords, but they don't necessarily track it, and they can't tell me how many prospects they get, how many clients they get out of that. So you want to look at, you know, what is your ROI on the marketing that you do? Is it good? Is it worth it? And if you're working with your perfect clients, then it's easier to get a higher ROI because you're working with higher-end clients that are staying with you longer, they're spending more money with you. All right. So I did mention that we're going to talk a little bit more about how to get more leverage. Now, leverage is a huge passion of mine, and the reason why is that, you know, everybody in the last 2 years with the recession and all of that, you know, they've been dealing with less resources. You know, Tony Robbins, when I went to the event, the Ultimate Business Mastery, a few years ago, and that's the program that I coach for him, one of the key things that struck me out of the whole five-day event, and we're talking 12 hours a day, one of the key things, the key distinctions that really struck me is that every business struggles with a lack of resources. And every successful company has had a challenge with resources at one time. And you can always find somebody that has less resources than you do. They didn't go to as good of a school as you did. They didn't they didn't go to as good of a school. They don't have as many employees. They didn't have as much startup capital. There's always something that you can find, and they still succeed. And the reason why is because that person was more resourceful. So leverage is about becoming resourceful and getting more out of everything that you're doing. All right, so let's talk about how that works with stacked marketing. Stacked marketing is one of the ways that you get more leverage, because when you just do one marketing tactic, so say, for example, a lot of my clients are now using Facebook, whether they're marketing B2C or B2B, and Facebook is great, but if you are using Facebook in conjunction with YouTube, in conjunction with LinkedIn, in conjunction with Twitter, and having all of the things working synergistically together, you're going to get more results than just with one tactic. Now, the thing that you want is that you want prospects to see you everywhere. Now, this happened to me last year. A woman I never met, she called me about a speaking engagement to have me come speak for her organization. I said, well, how did you hear about me? And she said, well, you're everywhere. And so, you know, it wasn't one thing that I was doing, but it was like she kept hearing about me in multiple places. So that's the thing with your stacked marketing. Now, you might say, oh, I don't do social media. That won't work for my market. I challenge you because I think it can be working for almost every business and every market. It just has to be done differently. So that's where when we design the marketing calendar, we choose which things and how we're going to be strategic so that it works for you. But you might do direct mail. So, for example, if we're going to do direct mail, we'd send out a piece of direct mail, and then in conjunction with the direct mail, we're also going to do some telemarketing. So it's not just relying on, oh, the direct mail didn't work, nobody called. Well, now you're calling to follow up, and you're getting another touch point with that prospect. So that's something to look at in your marketing is, are you doing one thing and then dropping off and not getting the results? Because people like to consume another point about stacked marketing is people like to consume that information in different ways. So some people like Twitter, some people hate it. Some people like Facebook, some people like to read, some people like to watch videos. So the more ways that you have to get in front of those people, the better. All right, the second thing in terms of getting more leverage is that you have to plan for leverage. You have to start getting into your head of how can I use this more than once. So an example, I had a client that was featured in their city's business journal, and they did an interview with the writer, which, you know, that obviously takes time and effort to be able to prepare and get your thoughts together and to do this interview. So what we looked at is how can we use that in more than one way? How can we get more leverage out of that than just being in the business journal, which was a great coup for him? So we used it in client letters. So once we had a client, we'd say, hey, you might not have seen it, but I was in the business journal, which you might say, oh, well, they're already my client. Why would I do that? But it's, again, it's being strategic. It's positioning yourself as the expert in your industry for your client to be able to see you. We used it in direct mail letters for prospects. We used it on his website. We used it on social media sites. So, for example, one thing he did, the business journal, we did it in probably over six different ways we used that one marketing piece. Now, the other thing is that that piece then can be used for years as well. The third thing for you to do to get more leverage is to hire a team. Now, this has been a huge breakthrough for a lot of my clients because, you know, they think, oh, if I have to hire a team member, it's a cost. It's an expense. But I'm a huge fan of hiring virtual team, and I'm extremely lucky because I have a wonderful virtual team that I've worked really hard to put together. Now, when you put together a virtual team, the nice thing about a virtual team is you're hiring people that are experts in what they do. So you're not paying for them to learn these things that you want them to do. So you're getting leverage there. You're also only paying for the hours that you use. So instead of having somebody that you're paying for 40 hours a week, and you're not getting the full value out of that, you hire somebody for 5 or 10 hours. And that way you can start with this at any level. Now, the funny part about this is I thought that, you know, this is a system that most of my smaller clients would use, people that are, you know, in six figures. But I've found that my clients that are in 7 and 8 figures really, really like this because it allows them to bring in somebody just for certain projects within their organization, whether it's putting out a newsletter or something like that, that their team members that they already have on salary or on staff might not know how to do or might not be experts in. Or their team members might already be really tapped out in terms of time available, and they don't want to hire another full-time person. So, you know, this gives you a way to really get some leverage and to move forward. What that does is allow you to implement faster so that you can focus on those top 20% of the things that I talked about earlier in the call, that you want to be focusing on the 20% of the items in your business that are giving you 80% of your results. All right. So, you know, one of the things that I said I was going to talk about tonight was what you need to stop doing in your business. Now, this is it's kind of like how you know, they say that you need to create space for something. So when you're, they talk about this a lot in prosperity principles of nature abhors a vacuum. So if you want something to come into your life, whether it's new clothes or a new boyfriend, you need to make space for that. So if you have a boyfriend and he's not perfect, you need to get rid of the one that's not working so that you can get a better one. So the same thing in your business. You have to stop doing what's not working. And this is, know, people have ingrained habits. You probably have things that you've been doing for years. You've been opening your email at a certain time or so many times a day or all day. And that's really keeping you from going to the next level and keeping you from getting to where you want to go. So I'm going to go over five things that you should stop doing in your business. First of all, playing small. Life is too short to play small. And really, if you're playing small with your business and you're not looking at how to take it to the next level and how to make it more efficient and how to have systems that are working better and how to have marketing that's working better and how to have marketing plans and systems in place and sales plans and systems, then what's happening is that you've really just bought yourself a job with a crazy boss, a really crazy boss. And I can say that because my boss is crazy. I am crazy. And that's really what happens is that we, you know, unless you're really looking at how you can grow your business, you have a job, and it's a job that you can never quit, that it just, you know, is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The second thing, like I discussed at the beginning of the call, is that you need to stop working in the business all the time. So you want to take some time and schedule out your week so that you have times that you're working on the business. And that's one of the values of coaching, is that it forces you to work on the business, on improving it, on making it better. I have this blocked into my calendar every week so that I know this is my time that I am working on improving things, on taking it to the next level. What are the things that I'm going to do in my business this year that are going to get me to the next spot? You know, so it needs to be in your calendar, blocked off, held as sacred time so that you actually do it. The third thing you need to stop doing in your business is stop being afraid to invest in your business and your marketing. And this is something that, you know, a lot of people that I talk to don't even have a marketing budget. They don't have a number that they reinvest into their business every month or every year. And this can be scary because, you know, cash flow is an issue for a lot of people. I'll give you an example of two very different companies. During the Depression in the United States in the 1930s, there were two different cereal companies, which were pretty much on equal footing back then, which was Post Cereals and Kellogg's. Now, when I say the two names, probably Kellogg's is the one that you're the most familiar with. Now, what happened is during the Great Depression, the Post Cereal Company decided that they wanted to cut back on their marketing budget because they didn't have as much money. They didn't want to be wasting money on advertising and marketing. Well, what happened was during that time of the Depression, Kellogg's company kept going with their marketing and advertising. And what happened is that they took market share away from Post that to this day Post has never been able to recover from. So when I said if your business is not growing, it's dying, and that your competitor is going after your business, that's a perfect example of, you know, if you're not going to do it, other people in your industry are. Now, the fourth thing that you need to stop doing in your business is stop being sporadic with your marketing efforts. You know, I see clients a lot of times, you know, and especially clients that have busy seasons that, you know, some people it's Christmas, some people it's summer, some people it's fall. It doesn't matter what your busy season is. You still need to be doing your marketing. And this is one of the keys to stop having that feast or famine happening all the time in your business, is to have a consistent marketing plan and implementing it. Stop being sporadic. And the fifth thing that you need to stop doing with your marketing is that Coca-Cola marketing. Coca-Cola has $1 billion, and I see people are on here from Atlanta, so they're Coca-Cola drinkers, I'm sure. But stop doing the marketing that isn't direct response. And by direct response, if you're sending out, if you're doing an ad or you're doing some kind of direct mail piece or anything you're doing, you need to be asking people to take action. Now, even if that newsletter you're sending out, you don't want them to buy something from that newsletter, you still want to have them in action. So this is a little bonus jewel nugget here for you, is that you want them to go click and go to your website. You want to train them to take action when you're interacting with them, and have some kind of offer related to your marketing. Now, let's just review the components of your effective marketing plan, especially some of those of you who have joined us a little later in the call. I know I've gone really quickly, so I want to make sure you know that there's going to be a a replay available, so you can go back and listen to this again. Make sure you do all of the exercises and take good notes. All right, so the first component of an effective marketing plan is that it has to be stacked. So like I said, on that Business Optimizer Coach marketing calendar, we look at the whole month, and then we look at the whole year, and we look at what are all the tactics, what are all the methods that we're going to use to reach those people. So some ideas for you there is to look at what are you currently doing in your marketing and how can you stack that up. So if you have a promotion or you have a launch, how can you create multiple touches with that same prospect? And another point to that stacking is that you can always stack higher than you think you can, because a lot of times people say, oh, boy, you know, sent an email twice or whatever. You can always put another step in there. You know, send a postcard or do something different. Do a phone call. But add a whole bunch of steps to each promotion you do, and you'll get a lot better results. The second thing with your effective marketing is to go really deep. Build a relationship with your prospect. Develop that like, know, and trust factor. So, you know, some of my clients that, you know, we have a lot of fun with marketing. That it's not just about buy this, buy this, buy this, but it's, you know, they might put pictures of their kids, or they might put pictures of their employees. They might put funny things about their employees so that you can start to get to know them, develop interaction with them. You know, if you look at the businesses that you like to use over and over again, you know, the song, the cheer song, it's, you know, the place where everybody knew your name. And that people like that, even today, in today's society. That's why Starbucks, I think, is so popular, because you could go into a Dunkin' Donuts or a Tim Hortons, which is the Canadian Dunkin' Donuts, and you could go to the same place over and over and over again, and they will not know your drink. Like, they will not know what kind of coffee you want and how you want it, which is pretty crazy because there's not that many coffees that they sell. But if you go to a Starbucks and you start to frequent that Starbucks, they know your name. They know what you like to drink. They're like, you know, do you want some nuts with that? You know, because they know you always get that. And that's the sort of thing that you want your client, so that you get to know them and they get to know you, so that they have some loyalty to you and you don't have to start this whole marketing cycle over and over again. Okay. So the third component of an effective marketing plan is that you want to have this targeted to your perfect clients. Don't be afraid to niche yourself and to say who you want. Who are your perfect clients, and who do you want to work with? You know, the people that I work with are very motivated, and they want to go to the next level, and that's the kind of people that I want to work with. Now, to go even further, I generally work with clients that are 6 to 8 figures that are marketing B2B. So I'm very clear on what kind of clients I want. Now, some portions of my clients will fit all of those criteria, and some of them will fit some of them, but they fit the most important criteria in terms of that it's a good energy match, and it's they're implementing, they're excited, and they have big goals. Now, the fourth thing that you want to check off when you're doing your effective marketing plan is you want to track your implementation and results. Now, that's another thing with the marketing calendar that I do with my clients, is that not only do you have the plan, but we actually work with that every week to see how your implementation is doing and how you're doing with your results. So you want to make sure that you put that into place in your business right away if you're not already doing it, and be very consistent with doing that. So, for example, on Mondays I have my client my team meeting, and we look at all the implementation, what we did in the week before, and then we also look at what are the results of those. Now, the fifth thing is that you want to be strategic. Don't just do this, you know, whoever walks into my business kind of advertising and marketing. Be strategic. How do you want to be seen by your prospects? Who are your perfect clients? And then how do you get that message of how you want to be seen in your industry to those perfect clients? Be strategic. It takes a little bit of extra work and a little bit of extra thinking time, but the results are worth it. And the sixth thing is that you need to be using direct response principles. And if you're not familiar with those, that is needs to be a real learning area, because unless you're doing direct response, you're doing that Coca-Cola type advertising that you're not asking people to take an action step. And I see that over and over again, that people send me a marketing piece that they want to have go out, and I go over it and check it and optimize it, and they won't have an action. Like, when do you want them to call you? Do you want them to go to your email? Do you want them to use a coupon? What is it that you want them to do? And by when? So put a time factor on there. So those are some of the things that you really need to be looking at in your marketing plan. Now, I did mention at the beginning of the call that I was going to talk about how I could help you with this whole feast or famine. Now, I've given you tons of things for you to go back to your own marketing and look at and see how you can optimize what you're currently doing. And so I hope you really took the time to do the exercises, and now you're going to go back to your current marketing plan and do these things. But if you want more help and some one-on-one help, I do have some openings right now in my Business Optimizer Platinum Coaching Program. So if you want to find out about that, it's by application only. I only have 3 spots right now. You go to tinyurl.com, and that's tiny, tinyurl.com/BOC, for Business Optimizer Coach, Platinum, PLATINUM. So it's tinyurl.com/BOC Platinum. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information. Like I said, this is by application. It's a year-long program. It's designed for 6 to 8-figure entrepreneurs to increase your sales and profits. And, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning of this call, is I believe that it's all so much intertwined in terms of having your business running smoothly, having your business reaching the potential that you know it has in it, and yourself reaching that potential. That by doing that, it gives you the freedom and the feeling that you can then enjoy your free time and enjoy spending time with who you love and then doing what you love. So here's some of the areas that we work on, you know, and this is just a small list of what we work on, but there's 5 main areas that we look at. First of all, is helping you with a power mindset. So we look at your money beliefs. We look at your beliefs in general that are, holding you back from what you want. We look at your goal setting. You know, do you have goals? I mean, I worked with a company that was $20 million in sales, and they hadn't done strategic planning or goal setting for over 5 years. Are you focused? Are you staying focused on the right things? The second thing we look at is the low-hanging fruit, and I'm known for this, is that I look at your company and I identify the highest return on investment items that we can easily implement. So, for example, one of my clients, we identified an income stream for him, and in just 1 month, we increased his business over 50% from the last year, the same month. And the year before was pre-recession, and the year that we increased his sales was during the recession. So we look at what are those quick items that we can do that can get you a great ROI, and they're easy to implement. The third thing we do is we optimize your business. Now, this is, you know, a lot of different areas that we optimize. We look at your sales process. We look at your sales strategies that you're using, your scripts and all those things. You know, maybe you're not good at selling. Maybe you need some sales training or coaching. We look at that. The other thing we look at is your marketing. Obviously, that's what we've been talking about on this call, how to make it better, how to make it perform, how to get a better return on investment. Your internet marketing, is your website converting? Are you getting traffic to your website? How's it doing for you? And then also systems, because one of the things that I've found with my clients is that we get to a certain rate, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you need to make sure that you have the systems in place to actually handle the growth that we're going to bring you. So we look at that to make sure that everything's running smoothly. The fourth area we look at is leverage. You know, how do you get more out of less? How do you get more out of every single thing that you're doing so that you're able to take vacations, so that you have some passive income streams working for you? And then the fifth thing is that we really look at how to shift from being the technician, the person that's just working in the business, to being an entrepreneur, so that you can hire people, so that you can come up with an exit strategy for your business. So those are the 5 areas with lots of sub-areas that we work on. Now, this Platinum program has lots of access to me one-on-one. We have a Business Optimizer Intensive where we spend 2 days together that we work on your marketing and your goal setting, and, you know, it's all custom designed for your business and what you need to do to get your business to the next level. You also get one-on-one coaching calls, and you also get marketing materials that I review. So when you're doing marketing, you send them over to me, and I then optimize them to help you get more results. Now, like I said, I only have 3 spots. It is by application only. So if you're interested, you know, fill this out right now. It is tinyurl.com/BOC for Business Optimizer Coach Platinum. So tinyurl.com/BOC Platinum. And, you know, if you're a six-figure business owner who's really ready to take action and implement consistently, this is the kind of program that's going to support you in getting those results. Now, the other thing just to let you know is that the applications are going to be considered in the order that they're received. Now, tomorrow, this is also going to go out to my whole list in terms of the recording. So fill out the application. Even if you're not sure if you fit the income levels and all of that, if you're really somebody that's ready to take action, ready to implement consistently, what we'll do is we'll sit down and talk, see if you're a good fit, see if I'm a good fit for you. You're not obligated in any way by filling out this form. And then if you do fill out the application and you don't qualify for the Platinum program, you'll be given first priority in some of my other programs that might be a better fit for your company. Now, the deadline for this is Tuesday, June 7th. For those of you listening on the recording, so you do have some time to get this filled out. And again, the URL is tinyurl.com/BOC Platinum, PLATINUM. So tinyurl.com/BOC Platinum. Now, the thing that I always leave with, you know, because I struggled with this for years, this is my mantra. Is remember, don't just learn, implement. I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. Thank you for joining me tonight, and I look forward to seeing who's going to come play with me this year in the Platinum Coaching Program. If you have any questions or any trouble with the form, please contact my assistant, and that is assistant@businessoptimizercoach.com. I look forward to talking to you and getting to know you. So make it a great day, everybody.
The moderator has left the conference.